Hello, everyone. Welcome to part two of my review of Kamigawa Neon Dynasty for Cube. Today, we're looking at the cards that I have added to my lower powered environment, as well as some cards that I tested but ended up underperforming or not quite fitting the environment. Welcome to Cultic Cube, where we cube religiously. We make you better at cube and make your cube better. So today we're talking about the cards that I have added to Petty Nobility, which is my lower powered cube. It's a 450 card cube, and it's a Jenny and Johnny's Dream cube. The cube is all about building fun engines and doing cool stuff, going off. It's not a spiky cube. It's not designed to be particularly fast. It's also not really a Timmy's cube. We don't have a bunch of enormous stompy things. If you're interested in checking out the list, be sure to check the links in the description. So, it's been a while since my part one review. Apologies for the long delay. And good news, I've gotten to do some cubing in the interim, which means I've gotten to play with all of these cards that I'll be talking about. And in fact, some of them I've already decided to excise from the cube, and some of them are hanging in there. So, our first card is a mythic, Ao the Dawn Sky. It's 3 white-white for a legendary creature, Dragon Spirit. It's a 5/4. It has flying and it has vigilance. When Ao the Dawn Sky dies, choose one. Look at the top 7 cards of your library. Put any number of non-land permanent cards with a total mana value 4 or less from among them onto the battlefield. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. Okay, option 2, put 2 +1/+1 counters on each permanent you control that's a creature or a vehicle. So we've got a legendary Dragon Spirit. That's a fun throwback to that cycle that included Kaiga the Tide Star and Kokusho the Evening Star and Yosei the Morning Star, all those cool dragons from the original Kamigawa. Some of those original dragons saw a lot of play in Cube for a long time, but most of them have fallen out of favor of late. So our new card, Ao, it's cheaper. It is modal. It gives you these options for the leaves the battlefield effect. You know, the thing still does, in fact, have to die, not just leave the battlefield in order for you to get the value. And both of the options can be quite impactful. And they're kind of a nice pair, right? Because option one helps you when you don't have much of a board, lets you rebuild your board. And option two, putting the counters on stuff, that helps when you do have a board state. This card, I like this best among this Dragon Spirit cycle. This is the only one that I'm running in Petty Nobility. I'm not running any in Eleasis. I don't think they're good enough in Eleasis. Here, I think Ao is fine. I like it here. The card is a bomb, but it's not a totally insane bomb. It's 5 mana for a 5/4 flyer, which, you know, this is good. It's a lot better than Sarah Angel, I guess, right? But it's still something that we can deal with. And then it's got nice payoffs on the backside. 4 toughness, that's good. That's about as big as I want creatures to be, especially flyers in this format. I like this card. It hasn't felt too overpowered, but it's nevertheless a powerful card and an evasive, somewhat expensive threat. Okay, next card I want to mention is Banishing Slash. This is white-white for a sorcery. It says destroy up to 1 target artifact, enchantment, or tapped creature. Then if you control an artifact and an enchantment, create a 2/2 white samurai creature token with vigilance. Ugh, this is a card, I don't know, it doesn't look that great. I wanted to test it anyway, just because it does have so many options. Artifact, enchantment, or tapped creature that you can take care of. I really dislike it in the end. Man, I've had this card in hand so many times and had it just sitting there doing nothing. This environment does have a ton of enchantments. It doesn't have just tons of artifacts, but there are artifacts. So I want ways to get rid of artifacts and enchantments. So I like disenchants, but not literal disenchant. I want them to be able to do something else. And indeed, this one can. It can get rid of creatures, but they have to be tapped. I don't know. This card, it costs white-white. It's a sorcery. It has this extra clause for getting rid of problematic creatures, and that can, you know, really be an issue. It's got this trinket text upside where you can sometimes create a samurai, but that hasn't happened for me yet. It doesn't seem very likely. In another format, it might well be much more likely, but here I don't often have both an artifact and an enchantment. This card has been annoying me, and I'd much rather just have an Oblivion Ring. Oblivion Ring's more expensive, but it does what it says on the label, and it's not two white mana pips. We tried it. Next, we have Light the Way. This is a single white pip for an instant. Choose one. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature or vehicle, untap it, or return target permanent you control to its owner's hand. Oh, and this is a common. So look, this isn't a card that you're maybe getting wildly excited about. It's kind of a cute little thing though. I like the modality. I like that it has two very different applications, each of which could be relevant. It's a cute little combat trick. You know, being able to untap something with this combat trick, that makes it an even better combat trick, right? Putting a +1 counter on something is nice because that sticks around. And moreover, I have lots of counters nonsense going on in this cube. You know, white's not as good at doing things with counters as green is, but it can definitely be done. In fact, just the other day, I drafted a white-blue +1 counters and tempo deck. So it was a pretty aggressively slanted deck. It had a lot of ways of getting opposing blockers out of the way, and I could also do fun stuff with counters on things. I had Light the Way in that deck, and it was brilliant. It was so good. Not only do I have +1/+1 counters, but I also have Blink Shenanigans. So that other mode can be useful in that way too. Like mode number two, where you return something to hand, that's typically most useful for saving something that's about to die, of course. It's also useful for rebuying your ETBs, even if recasting something is an expensive way often to rebuy an ETB. All right, next up, another white card. It's a common, Spirited Companion. One and a white for an enchantment creature dog. It's a 1/1. When Spirited Companion enters the battlefield, draw a card. We talked about this in the last video. We've got this white Elvish Visionary. I like that. Petty Nobility is a format that's slow enough that I don't want to put additional brakes on the format in the form of very many walls, like Wall of Omens. Very many, you know, 2-mana 0/4 kind of things. Wall of Omens, of course, it's a 2-mana 0/4 that draws a card when it ETBs. That's not in the format, but Spirited Companion, perfect for the format. I love it. It replaces itself and leaves behind a body. That's great. It's inexpensive. In Petty Nobility, you can definitely be blinking it. So quietly a nice card for the format. Next, we have an uncommon, Touch the Spirit Realm. It's 2 and a white for an enchantment. When Touch the Spirit Realm enters the battlefield, exile up to 1 target artifact or creature until Touch the Spirit Realm leaves the battlefield. And it has channel for 1 and a white. So you pay 1 and a white, you discard this thing, and you exile target artifact or creature, return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. So we've got an Oblivion Ring variant. It doesn't hit all non-land permanents though. It only hits artifacts and creatures. There are no planeswalkers in this format, so that makes Touch the Spirit Realm better. There are definitely enchantments that can be problematic. It's got this channel effect where you blink something, and this could be useful both offensively and defensively. I have played with this card, however, I haven't found occasion to channel it yet. Like, I haven't seen a situation where that mode was more valuable to me than the Oblivion Ring mode. So, I mean, if you want another Oblivion Ring, here you go. I don't think this is better than Oblivion Ring, even in this particular environment without Planeswalkers. But it's close, and the card's fine, and it's cool that it can do this other thing. What's next? Thousand-Faced Shadow. This is a rare. It costs a single blue mana pip. It's a creature, human ninja. It's just a 1/1. It has ninjutsu for 2 blue-blue. So ninjutsu, I'm sure you know, but you can pay the ninjutsu cost and return an unblocked attacker you control to hand. And then you put this creature on the battlefield, tapped and attacking. Okay, so this is a flyer. And when Thousand-Faced Shadow enters the battlefield from your hand, if it's attacking, create a token that's a copy of another target attacking creature. The token enters the battlefield tapped and attacking. So that's cool, but I don't know. Do you guys have any experience with this card? I've only played this card in one deck, and in fact, it was in that white-blue tempo-y deck I just mentioned. Oh, the card was miserable there. It was just a flying min. I never found occasion to ninjutsu it when it made any sense. Of course, the show wasn't at all perfect for it because I was doing things with plus one counters, so I didn't actually want to ninjutsu something that had counters on it and lose all the counters. And then copying something else that like had counters on it, I wasn't going to get the counters, and that's not amazing. I never had attackers that I wanted to return to hand very badly. I never had that many attackers at once, such that I had very good targets for doing its copying thing. This is just a one-shot copy, so, you know, that's fine, but it's not great. The ninjutsu is kind of expensive, and if you don't have a big payoff, then you've just taken probably a better creature out of combat and inserted this 1/1. This card was deeply underwhelming. I'm not taking it out yet, though, because I need to try it elsewhere in a deck that makes more sense for it. You should let me know if you've what your experiences have been with this card, though. That was it for blue. Let's go to black. Dockside Chef. This is an uncommon. It's a single black mana for a 1/2 enchantment creature, human citizen. You can pay one and a black, sacrifice an artifact or creature, and draw a card. So here's an enabler for aristocrats, of course. I know peasant cubes are excited about this card. We've got an uncommon sac outlet that costs a single black mana to put into play. That's nice. It's got, you know, sort of a modestly good defensive body at one mana with two toughness instead of one toughness. It lets you draw cards. I don't know. This is fine. It costs mana to do it. I played this in a show that had the ability to spit out some blood tokens and some treasure tokens. A card that I've been quite enjoying in the cube is Voldaren Bloodcaster. This is from the recent set Crimson Veil. It's one and a black for a vampire wizard who's a 2/1. She's got flying, and whenever this card or another non-token creature you control dies, you create a blood token. What a nice addition to the Aristocrats deck, and what a fine card to really just stick in most any black deck that has creatures. It's also a discard outlet. I mean, this is, you know, totally fine card. Anyway, she was spitting out a bunch of blood tokens, and I could use Dockside Chef to turn those into, you know, actual cards instead of looting, but at a cost, because you do have to pay one in a black and sack something, so that adds up. It's nice that he doesn't tap in order to do his sacrifice ability. Anyway, this card's okay if you want another sac outlet. Okay, next up we have Leech Gauntlet. This is an uncommon. One and a black for an artifact creature, equipment leech. This is one of these creatures with reconfigure. So this has lifelink, and it says equipped creature has lifelink, and it has a reconfigure cost of 4. So you can pay 4 generic mana and attach this to a creature as an equipment, or unattach it from something. You can only do this as a sorcery. I've got a life gain archetype in the cube, so I thought I'd test it for that. And this card, I think it's sort of a cute card, but you know, as you can probably surmise, it's not a particularly impactful card. Costs 2 mana and you get a bear with lifelink, and then you have to pay 4 in order to attach it to something, and that's a pretty steep cost. And when you attach it, you're only giving something lifelink. You're not giving it any stat boost. Next, a common, Reckoner Shakedown for 2 and a black. It's a sorcery. Target opponent reveals their hand. You may choose a non-land card from it. If you do, that player discards that card. If you don't, put 2 +1/+1 counters on a creature or vehicle you control. So, can I sell you on a Thoughtseize that costs 3 mana? Triple the price. You're probably not that excited. The nice thing about this is that you can also use this card to peek at their hand and then put some counters on something, so that's nice. That also means this card is not a dead draw late in the game when opponent is out of cards or is just sitting on a land. This format has been slow enough that I have played Reckoner Shakedown, and it's been useful, and I've used it in both modes, and I've been happy enough with it. But this card, absolutely not a necessity. It is too expensive. I mean, like, honestly, it's too expensive for a Thoughtseize. You have to have a slow format to want this card. And the backup mode is not nothing, but also probably not in itself worth three mana. I'd be happier with this card if it were, say, black to cast it. You know, make it like half a notch better. Okay, another common Reckoner's Bargain, one and a black for an instant. As an additional cost to cast this spell, sacrifice an artifact or creature. You gain life equal to the sacrificed permanent's mana value. Draw two cards. Here's a nice card draw spell for black. It's another version of Village Rites. It's more expensive. It lets you sack an artifact instead of a creature if you'd like. That's nice. You do gain life equal to the thing's mana value. But here's the thing, you're likely sacking a token, so you're probably not gaining any life. Of course you don't have to, and if you've got some cool life gain shenanigans going, and or you've got recursive stuff happening, then by all means, sack something big and expensive and cause your opponent to lose as much life as you gain with veto or something. That sounds cool. Anyway, this card is basically a more expensive Village Rites a lot of the time, although it can do other cool stuff. Okay, here's a rare called Soul Transfer. One black for a sorcery. Choose one. If you control an artifact and an enchantment, as you cast this spell, you may choose both. So, option one, exile target creature or planeswalker. Option two, return target creature or planeswalker from your graveyard to your hand. I don't super love this card. As we've talked about, no planeswalkers here, so the fact that it can hit planeswalkers doesn't affect me. It's this 3-mana sorcery speed hero's downfall thing that's not an impressive spell. It does exile, you know, that's definitely upside. It exiles its target rather than destroys it. It's got this other mode where you can regrow something that is, you know, typically not going to be the mode that you're using it in. And as we've already talked about, in my environment, highly unlikely that you're going to have both an artifact and enchantment, so you're not going to get that sweet value where you get to do both of these things in my environment. If you get to do both of these things more reliably in your environment, then maybe you'll be into this card. Me, turns out I'm not super into this card. Okay, next up, Experimental Synthesizer. This is a common. We already talked about this in part one. You know how excited I am about this card. I'm still excited about this card. I've been playing this card a lot, you guys, in both Alaesis and here in Petty Nobility. Jam it in every red deck I can, and I love it. It's so good. Single red mana for an artifact. When Experimental Synthesizer enters or leaves the battlefield, exile the top card of your library. Until end of turn, you may play that card, and it sacrifices itself. You can pay two and a red, sacrifice this thing, and you create a 2/2 white samurai creature token with vigilance, activate only as a sorcery. That's kind of a drag. Wouldn't it be fun to do this at instant speed? But we can't have it all. This is a card that replaces itself in this wonky way that has become a hallmark of red card advantage of late. But you can get two cards off of this little card, and you can trade this thing in for a creature and a card. And it does that itself. And it does that at a rate that's not outrageous, right? Sacking this for 3 mana and getting a 2/2 with vigilance. I think this card's great. What a great little cantrip. Shove this in your deck. It's gonna be good. Next up, Iron Hoof Boar. This is a common for 5 and a red for an artifact creature, boar. It's a 5/4. It has trample. It has haste. And it has channel. You can pay 1 and a red and discard the card, and target creature gets +3/+1 and gains trample until end of turn. So as I explained earlier, this is not a Timmy Tammy format. We're not looking to go absurdly large with big stompy creatures. This card, it may look kind of silly. 6 mana for a 5/4 with trample and haste, and like maybe it is kind of silly, and that's fine. But A, I don't want hugely oppressive bombs, even in the expensive mana slots. So this thing sort of fits the bill. B, I love expensive cards that have another cheaper mode. So I love that this has a channel mode. It can be a combat trick for cheaper. This reminds me of Return to Ravnica block, the Gruul mechanic. What was that called? Blood Rush. The best of these, I think, to my recollection anyway, was Gore Clan Rampager. And that card, it was an uncommon, cost 2 red-green, and it was a 4/4 with trample, but it had Blood Rush. For a red and a green, you could discard this thing, and target attacking creature gets +4/+4 and gains trample until end of turn. It's a better card than this one that we're talking about, but also, that's a gold card. So here we've got some top end for red that just smashes face, right? Trample in haste that, you know, just gets in there. It's just like a lava axe. But it's also got this less expensive mode where you can pitch it for this other effect earlier in the game if you don't have all the mana to get to six. And also being able to pitch it early allows you to turn on reanimation stuff, of course. That's nice. Next, we've got a common, Kami's Flare. It's one and a red for an instant. What does it do? It deals 3 damage. Imagine that. It's a Syrian Spear, but it does some more stuff. Potentially. So it deals 3 damage to target creature or planeswalker, so it doesn't hit face. That's kind of a drag. However, it also deals 2 damage to that permanent's controller if you control a modified creature. What's a modified creature, you ask? Equipment, auras you control, and counters are modifications. In this format, you know, you can very easily have a modified creature. It's extremely likely. So this card is, on the one hand, fine as a 2-mana instant that deals 3 to something, although not to Dome. And you can get this additional upside, which isn't too hard to turn on. So far, I've killed a buddy 2 times now with Kami's Flare, where I've gotten him down to 2 or 1 life and then done this thing. And it's my new favorite finisher, you guys. I feel like I'm playing Mortal Kombat, probably because of the picture on this card as well, maybe. Evokes that fighting game genre a little bit. And you get your opponent down to practically dead, and it's like, finish him. Fatality. Kami's Flare, my favorite new fatality. Now an uncommon, Rabbit Battery. It's a single red mana for an artifact, creature, equipment, rabbit. It's a 1/1. It has haste. It has reconfigure for a single red pip, and equipped creature gets +1/+1 and has haste. This card's great. I love it. It's a little Raging Goblin that has this additional upside where later when a 1-1 doesn't cut it anymore, and let's be honest, how long is it going to be before a 1-1 doesn't cut it? Not very long. But you can attach it to something else and make it a little bigger. And importantly, if you're playing off curve, especially later in the game where you're top decking and you draw a grizzly bear or something, you run out your bear, you attach this thing to it, and then suddenly your grizzly bear is a little better and has haste, and you can smash face with it. I like it. Okay, we're on to green. We've got some number of green cards. Let me pause here, though, to say that Cultic Cube is supported by you. I've got a Patreon page, so that's the best way to support the show directly. Come hang out with us there. I've also got affiliate relationships with TCG Player, Inked Gaming, and Amazon. Also, I sell tokens on Etsy. I've got the Cultic Bestiary Project, where I've got a whole series of tokens. I've got, I don't know, 70 of these things now, maybe, that are done in the style of medieval illuminated manuscripts, and they look as if they have been drawn on vellum in these super saturated jewel tones, and they've got evocative flavor text that's lifted from medieval manuscripts as well, or from classical sources, from all kinds of things. It's an awesome project, I think. But I'm biased. Next, we've got Blossom Prancer. This is an uncommon for 3 green. It's a 4/4 creature spirit. It has reach, and let me just interject that that's rather nice. 5 mana for a 4/4, not super impressive. I love that it has reach, though, I must say. Even though you wouldn't know it from the card, my goodness, it's just a stag standing on top of a little rise of the ground here. How are we supposed to know this thing has reach? Easy to forget. But in this format, green, you know, needs to be able to deal with flyers. It's a perennial problem for green, so I'm glad this thing can brick most flyers, because there's not tons of real big stuff. And as I said at the top of this program, I typically don't want flyers to have more than 4 toughness. Like, that's a pretty big flyer that has 4 toughness. So just contangle with the Sarah Angel. Not that Sarah Angel's in the cube, but you see what I'm saying. All right, so we've got 5 mana for a 4/4 with reach. And when Blossom Prancer enters the battlefield, you may look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may reveal a creature or enchantment card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. If you didn't put a card into your hand this way, you gain 4 life. This is quietly kind of a sweet card. It replaces itself, and it's extremely likely to replace itself. You get to look at the top 5, and you get a creature or enchantment. If you've got this in your deck, presumably you've got a deck where you're going to hit a creature or enchantment in your top five, right? Even if you somehow blank on that, then you still get a little upside. You get to gain four life. So that's nice. There's a little consolation prize. Honestly, the gaining four life is more likely going to be something that you actively choose to do, though, rather than it being a consolation prize. So life gain can matter in this cube. You can definitely construct a situation where you want to gain four life and trigger a bunch of stuff. This is a fun blink target too. You know, this is not a super impressive card, but it's a neat little package in a low powered cube. It's nice that it's an uncommon for you peasant players out there. Honestly, if the card didn't have reach, I don't think I'd be interested in it. But as it is, I kind of want to run it for a little while. It's kind of a cute card. All right, here's a card to know about. It's a common Grafted Growth. It's two and a green for an enchantment aura. It says enchant land. When Grafted Growth enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature or vehicle you control. And enchanted land has tap, add two mana of any one color. So you already know if you want this card. This is basically a reprint of New Horizons. Only difference is you can put that counter on a vehicle instead of on a creature, so yay. If you're running New Horizons and you want another New Horizons, well, here you go. We've got one. Next, Greater Tanuki. This is a common. Costs 4 green for an enchantment creature dog. It's a 6/5. It has trample and it has channel. You can pay 2 and a green and pitch the card. Search your library for a basic land card, put it onto the battlefield tapped, and then shuffle. Wow. Okay. Well, you will recall we were just talking about that 6 mana red card, Iron Hoof Boar, that has a channel ability. Here we've got a 6 mana green card that's a little bit bigger. It doesn't have haste, but it does have trample. That's nice. And it has this channel ability. Channel ability is a different one. This one is a Rampant Growth that is 3 mana instead of 2 mana, but you can do channel at instant speed and it can't be countered, so there's that. I'm kind of unreasonably happy with this card too. Kind of love this card for all the reasons that we discussed before. This one's channel ability is even better, honestly, because, or at least I've found it to be even better, because you're pitching this thing when you've got this 6 mana card sitting in hand and you can't get to 6 mana, right? So maybe you're missing land drops, I don't know. But this card gives you a cheaper play when you can't cast it for its face value. And that cheaper play helps you to make up the deficit that's prohibiting you from casting the card in the first place. I like it. Also, trample is great. I've got a little trample matters thing going on in the cube at the moment. I'm just tickled pink by it. I kind of love this archetype. It's mainly in red-green. A key feature of the strategy is a gruel card called Quartzwood Crasher from Ikoria. It's a rare that costs 2 red-red-green, so 5 mana total for a 6/6 trampler. It's a dinosaur beast. And whenever one or more creatures you control with trample deal combat damage to a player, create an XX green dinosaur beast creature token with trample, where X is the amount of damage those creatures dealt to that player. That's a lot of words, and maybe you don't care, but I've got this silly little thing where you can assemble some cards where trample matters in the cube, and you can do cute stuff. I kind of like that I've got some big dorky creatures that have trample, and that don't have to be big dorky creatures. You can pitch them and do something else with them. Greater Tanuki, a good boy. Next, Invoke the Ancients. This is a rare for 1 green. So that's 4 green pips for a total of 5 mana. It's a sorcery. Create 2 4/5 green spirit creature tokens, and for each of them, put your choice of a vigilance counter, a reach counter, or a trample counter on it. That's cool. So for 5 mana, you get 2 4/5s, and they're going to be French vanilla 4/5s, and you get to choose the flavor of the vanilla. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Anyway, that's nice. Gosh, I wish I could like this card. I mean, it makes tokens and we've got token stuff. It can make tramplers and we could have trample stuff. Vigilance is cool on these things. Reach is cool on these things. That's great. This card's great. But, oh, the casting cost is just absurd. So if you've got an environment where you care about devotion, wait, that doesn't even work, does it? Because this is a sorcery. Never mind. I don't know. I don't know, you guys. Maybe you don't care about all this green mana. You've got some way of generating huge amounts of green mana, and you've got a Gaia's Cradle in your cube or something. Yeah, for me, this card, whew, even with all my fixing, and I love fixing, I love lands. I love lands that do things. I love lands that tap for mana. I eat my veggies, you guys, and still four green mana pips. It's a hard pill to swallow. Oh, next up, we've got a card that actually works well with the last one. I guess I'll mention that in a moment. Kodama of the West Tree. We completed the whole Kodama of the Cardinal Directions thing. It's a rare. It costs two and a green for a legendary creature spirit. It's a 3-3. So three mana for a 3-3. It has reach. That's cool. Modified creatures you control have trample. So remember, equipment, auras, and counters are modifications. So anything that's modified has trample now. That's great, especially for the trample archetype. But regardless, that's great. Because also, look, a perennial problem with the plus one counters archetype in particular, or a perennial problem with any strategy that looks to go tall, is you need to be able to get in there with your big tall thing. You can have this 2020 big dumb brute, and that's cool and all. If it doesn't have trample or flying or some way of getting in there, right, then that's no good. So now, if you have this little thing that's grown into a 2020 because of your modifications to it, it does have trample. Furthermore, this thing says, whenever a modified creature you control deals combat damage to a player, search your library for a basic land card, put it onto the battlefield tapped, and then shuffle. Sweet. It ramps you, and that's not irrelevant on a three mana card. So this could hit the battlefield, and then if you have something modified already, which may not be super duper likely at this juncture of the game, but maybe, right? You're already getting to do this acceleration thing and do this deck thinning thing, and you can trigger this multiple times a turn if you've got multiple modified things that are hitting the opponent. Cool. It's a cool card. Oh, and I was saying it worked well with the last thing because Invoke the Ancients, that last card we were talking about where you make 2, 4, 5 green spirit creature tokens, and then for each of them, you put your choice of a vigilance counter, a reach counter, or a trample counter on them. So they have counters. They may not be +1/+1 counters, doesn't matter. Those still count as modifications, and this thing would still give them trample. Okay, next up we've got a common Master's Rebuke. It's one and a green for an instant. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to target creature or planeswalker that you don't control. So we've got this nice punch card. It's not a fight, it's a punch, right? You just straight up hit them. It's instant speed. It can hit planeswalkers in addition to creatures. That's cool. That's not relevant in this environment, but it could be to you. So here's a little bit of interaction for green. We have other effects like this already, of course, like Ram Through is very similar from Ikoria. Here's another punch card. You might be into it. Oh, Weaver of Harmony. Oh, this is a fun card too. Weaver of Harmony, this is a rare for one and a green. It's an enchantment creature, Snake Druid. Firstly, it says other enchantment creatures you control get +1/+1. This randomly does things, but you can probably almost ignore that, at least in my environment. In yours, maybe things are different. But for me, that's not like this weird lord characteristic of Weaver of Harmony isn't actually very useful. But that's okay, because it does something else that is super useful. It has the ability, pay green and tap it, and copy target activated or triggered ability you control from an enchantment source. You may choose new targets for the copy. Ugh, I should have gone through the cube and counted how many of these I have in the cube. I didn't do that. You should do that in your own cube and see what this thing does for you. For me, it does a lot, like surprisingly a lot. And it's not hard to put a deck together where this thing does stuff. Look, if your deck isn't gonna have a use for this card, you don't put it in your deck, right? But if you've got a handful of enchantments, and in fact enchantment creatures, as well, can do things with this too, like that white dog who draws you a card. That's cool. But even better than the white dog who draws you a card is, you guys, Oblivion Ring and all of its friends. You can pay, if you have a green to spare and this guy on the battlefield, your Oblivion Ring will get rid of two things. You can get a 2-for-1 off of your Oblivion Ring. It's insane. It's so good. And then all those other cute little value enchantments that do stuff, they get to do additional stuff. Like, I'm just looking here, Bastion of Remembrance. It's 2 and a black for an enchantment. When Bastion of Remembrance enters the battlefield, you create a human token, 1/1. And whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. So you could copy that and you could drain your opponent for 2. Your Trail of Evidence, you can get it to investigate 2x when you cast an instant or sorcery spell. Your Ranger class, when it's at level 2, it says whenever you attack, put a +1/+1 counter on target attacking creature. You can put 2 +1/+1 counters on different things, potentially. I think you'll know if you want this card, but the card impressed me more than I thought it would impress me. I like it. Okay, let's hit up some gold cards now. Here's a card that I don't actually have room for, but I think it's a totally reasonable card. Colossal Sky Turtle. It's an uncommon. Costs 4 green, green, blue. So it costs 7 mana in Simic colors. It's an enchantment creature turtle. It has flying and ward 2, and then it's got 2 channel abilities. You can channel it for 2 and a green, discard it, and return target card from your graveyard to your hand. Or you can channel it for 1 and a blue, discard it, and return target creature to its owner's hand. So you've got 2 ways of pitching this thing. Ways that could be useful in different circumstances, ways that cost different amounts of mana. This is a 7 mana, 6/5 flyer. Of course, this probably looks a lot like Simic Sky Swallower. It's even got protection of a sort, although not shroud in this case, but ward. It may well be the case that you kind of want this thing to be a reanimation target for this big 7 mana thing. And this thing can pitch itself so that you can reanimate it. That's amazing. You probably know if you want this big dumb thing. I don't have enough room for it in my gold section because I kind of hate gold cards. I know, I'm bad, and I'd make like a bad commander player, I'm sure. Okay, here's a gold card I do like. Invigorating Hot Spring. It's an uncommon. It costs 1 red, green for an enchantment. Invigorating Hot Spring enters the battlefield with 4 +1/+1 counters on it. Modified creatures you control have haste. So anything with equipment, auras, or counters are modified, right? I mean, just pausing there for a moment, this card isn't good enough yet by itself, right? But you can see how this is an ability that could be cool. You play something, you equip it with anything, right? You throw some equipment on it, doesn't matter what it is, doesn't have to be the rabbit battery, it's gonna have haste, right? Thanks to this thing. That's kind of nice. Okay, remove a +1/+1 counter from Invigorating Hot Spring. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. Activate only as a sorcery and only once each turn. So you're going to get to do this 4 times, unless you've got a way of proliferating counters on the enchantment. This looks a lot like Rhythm of the Wild. It's better, though. It's not strictly better by any means, but I like it better, I've decided. Rhythm of the Wild, you may remember, is 1 red, green for an enchantment. It says creature spells you control can't be countered. That's cool. And then it says non-token creatures you control have riot. So they enter the battlefield with your choice of a +1/+1 counter or haste. This thing does it all. With riot, you have to choose between haste and the counter. This thing, you put a counter on something and it gets haste. Wow. Also, this thing doesn't care if it's a token that it's putting a counter on and giving haste to, so that's really good as well. It's got limited ammunition. You only get to do this 4 times, unlike the other one. But, you know, like, that seems fine, right? You only get to do it once a turn, but I'm not mad at the card for those limitations, really. It lets your gruel decks, which, like, want to be stompy and aggressive, be stompy and aggressive quickly. Cast some big dumb dudes and turn them sideways. That's what we're all about. And just look at that awesome monkey sitting in the pool on the card art with like an Aurora Borealis behind it. It's adorable. Put this monkey in your cube. All right, one last card I want to mention is a land, Uncharted Haven. It's a common. Uncharted Haven enters the battlefield tapped. As Uncharted Haven enters the battlefield, choose a color, and then you can tap to add 1 mana of the chosen color. Here's another version of Shimmerdrift Vale, which is the Snowland from Kaldheim, obviously, Kaldheim. Anyway, Shimmerdrift Vale, same card. It just says Snowland on it. So anyway, here's another way at getting fixing into your cube. And this card is presumably particularly important for rarity restricted cubes that may struggle to find mana that helps them fix. That's all the cards I'm looking at from this set. Fun set, fun additions to Petty Nobility. Good stuff for both of my cubes from this set. I'm so excited we've got so many good choices here because it's been a little dry of late with some of our last few sets. So thanks for hanging out with me. Let's keep hanging out and chatting cube.